Shavuos Perek Vav Mishnah Zayin 6-7, the last of the Perek and the last on the topic of Shavuos Mod B'Miktzas. Now, there are four cases in this Mishnah. They're all revolving in the same kind of setup. The setup is that a lender gave money to the borrower, but he took collateral, a mashkon, to ensure he gets repaid. Now, in so doing, he becomes a shomer. He becomes a custodian responsible to guard the property of person from whom he took it, and his status is a shomer sachar, meaning he's responsible for ganev and aved. If the object gets lost or stolen, so then he, the lender who took it as collateral, is responsible for the loss. So what will happen is, if there is such a loss, so then there'll be a credit, an offset, where we will do the difference between how much the borrower originally borrowed and how much the value of the collateral was, which is now lost. And the differential is the amount now that has to be paid. The modu mitzvah shvua that will come out is when there's a dispute over how much the differential is, and therefore how much will have to be paid. So now a few important caveats. The first most important caveat to understand all the cases in our mission is as follows. Regardless of how much the loan was and how much the collateral was worth, all we're considering in the context of the Mishnah here is how much is the claim, let's say the lender has on the borrower, to make himself whole. So he's claiming X. If the borrower says, no, I owe you Y, so then there'll be a differential, and there'll be Shavuos Mod B'Miktzas. If the borrower says, no, I owe you nothing, then there'll be no differential and no Shavuos Mod B'Miktzas. Okay, that's the gist of it. In addition, you have to know that since the lender took collateral and became effectively a shomer sachar, a guardian. So if he claims that the object is lost, he will have to make a shvuas hashomer. He'll have to swear that the object is no longer in his possession. Meaning, even though he is agreeable to give the full value, the fair value, to the lender, even in such a case, still he has to swear that he doesn't have it. Because otherwise the rabbis made this takana because they thought, listen, person will rationalize, you know, he took this bike as collateral, he decided he likes his bike, he thinks, listen, I'm going to give this, I did this guy a favor anyways of lending him money, now I'm going to give him the full value of his bike, so he's not losing anything. He can buy another bike if he wants to. And that being the case, he'll rationalize that he can essentially keep the bike and lie that it was stolen, and then just give him the financial credit. But he certainly can't do that. Besides being dishonest, actually a violation of the law of lo sachmod, not to covet. Lo sachmod includes making some kind of scheme to obtain the thing that you covet, that you desire. And that's what's happening over here. So therefore, the rabbi said, no, even every time the person who had a pikadon, a deposit, or a mashkon, collateral, like in our Mishnah, and he claims it's lost, whether he's paying for it otherwise, he has to make the shvuas hashomer. And certainly, even if he's giving credit towards it, still he has to swear it's not in his possession. That's one part of the Mishnah. Other part of the Mishnah you have to understand is that there's another shvua happening. Even if there's no shvuas moda b'miktas, the doraisa shvua, there still could be a shvuas heset, the Mishnah won't mention that, but that rabbinic requirement to swear if you deny your claim in full, okay? But all that said, let's see the case of the Mishnah inside. The first case of the Mishnah, oh, let me say one more thing, I'm sorry. So the Mishnah uses kind of currencies that we're not familiar with. The coin, the sela, is the large coin, it's worth 4 dinar. The shekel is half of its size, it's worth 2 dinar, and the dinar, of course, is worth just 1 dinar, okay? So when I translate these cases, I'm going to translate them just in terms of dinarim straight away for the sake of simplicity. So here the Mishnah says inside, Hamalva es chaveru al hamashkon. A person lends money to the borrower, and he takes a mashkon collateral to ensure he gets repaid. Va'avad hamashkon. But the collateral gets lost. We'll call that the bicycle. So the bicycle collateral gets lost. And so now, although there's a credit of the value of the bicycle, the lender says he still has a claim to get the balance from the borrower. So, the first of the four cases of our mission is as follows. Amar lo, he, the plaintiff, who in this case is the lender, says, Sela hilvi sicha, I loaned you 4 dinar, a love, on the base of that bike that I took as collateral, vishekel hayashava, but the bike was worth just 2 dinarim, and therefore, you owe me the balance, the remaining 2. Vahala omer, but the other guy, the defendant, the borrower, says, Loki, nope, that's not what happened. Ella sela hilvisani, a love, it's true, I did borrow 4 dinar from you, and I did give you that bicycle as collateral. V'selahayav shaveh. But the bike was worth 4 dinar. So therefore, I don't owe you anything. Says the Mishnah, patur. Patur, what's patur? Meaning, the defendant, the person who's being accused of owning money, meaning the borrower, he is repudiating the full 2 dinar claim in full. And therefore, he's patur from shuvas moda b'miktsas, because he's not making any partial admission. That's the thrust of our Mishnah, the context of our perek. I should add that, in fact, he will have to take a shvua, the shvua of shvuas hesed, because he is denying a claim in full in kofar es hakol. When you deny the whole thing, entire claim, you have to take this rabbinic shvua. But that's not mentioned in our Mishnah, because that shvua was only instituted by the Amoraim after the closing of the Mishnah. In addition, besides for the accused, the borrower, taking the shvuas hesed, the lender, who claims he lost the collateral, will have to take a shvua, shvuas ha-shomrim, that the bike is no longer in his possession. He doesn't have that collateral of the bicycle. Okay? So patur just goes on the shvuas motor mix, it's not the other shvuas that happen. That's case number one. Case number two. Sela hilvisicha alav, says the lender, I loaned you 4 dinar on the basis of keeping your bike as collateral. Vishekel hayashava, and that bike was worth 2 dinarim. Meaning, I'll credit you the 2, but you still owe me 2 more. Vahala omer, but the other guy, meaning the defendant, the accused, the nitba, the borrower, he says, Loki, that's not true. Elasela hilvisani, it's true I borrowed 4 dinar from you. Alav, on the basis of that bike which I gave as collateral. Ushlosha dinarim hayashava, but the bike was worth 3 dinar, not 4 dinar. Excuse me, not you claim 2, not 2 dinar, it was worth 3 dinar. So I admit, I still owe you 1 more dinar, but I deny the other dinar you're claiming of me. So this is good old-fashioned modem mixtus. I admit to 1, I deny 1. In that case, says the Mishnah, chayev, he's obligated. He, the borrower, who's modem mixtus, he makes a partial admission, will not have to pay the rest, but he has to swear he doesn't owe the rest. He has to swear the bike was worth, in fact, 3 dinar. So that's the chayev of the Mishnah. In addition, I should point out that the lender takes a shvua. Another shvua, also shvua d'oraisa, like the not the modem mixtus case, which is the modem mixtus shvua, which is a d'oraisa. He, the lender, makes a shvua sashomrim, also a d'oraisa, that he doesn't have the bike, the collateral, in his possession. Okay, the Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah, will discuss the interesting question of, wait, since these are both shvuas d'oraisa, they're on equal footing, who should take the shvua first? Who has to swear first? Okay, because remember, if you refuse to swear, you're going to lose your case. So, come back to that in a moment. The third case of the Mishnah. So now it says, Sela hilvisani alav. Not hilvisicha. Doesn't say, the plaintiff isn't saying, I loaned you money. The plaintiff is saying, I borrowed money from you on the basis of collateral. Meaning, the plaintiff now, the person who's claiming money, is the borrower. He's saying he gave too much collateral. So the nitba, the defendant, the person who's accused to owe money now, is actually the lender. So the borrower says, Sela hilvisani alav, I did borrow a seller from you. I'm going to translate 1 seller from you. Ushtarim havashava, but what I gave you, that bike as collateral, was worth 2 slime. Okay, so in other words, in dinar terms, I borrowed 4 from you, but I gave you 8 as collateral. So therefore, you owe me the balance of 4 because you lost my bike, the collateral. Vahala omer, but the other guy, meaning the defendant, meaning the lender, says, Loki, that's not what happened. Ela sela hilvisicha, yes, I loaned you a sela for a dinar, a love on the basis of that bike. Vesela hayashava, but that bike was just worth 1 sela, it was just worth 4. So I loaned you 4, I took 4 as collateral, unfortunately I lost your bike, but now we're even, so I owe you nothing. And since he's denying everything, he'll be putter, he'll be exempt from making the shvua, which shvua's motor mixas. He will have to take the shvua, however, of shvua's hesed. Okay. On this, there's a question. The Gemara asks the following question. It says, wait a second. We know there's a rule called gilgul shvua. When a person has to take a shvua anyway, so then you can like roll on to that shvua. Gilgul means like to roll on. You can roll on to that shvua other relevant stuff. That is learned out from the story of Sota. We had it earlier in the parak also. The Sota woman, she takes a shvua not just on the particular man that's accused, but all men and so on, and learn that can apply to other things as well. So here, we have the lender, who was a custodian of the Mashkon, the bike. He lost it. Now he has to take a Shvua Doraisa that the bike's not in his possession. So once he's taking a Shvua Doraisa, why don't we say, listen, Gilgul Shvua. Once he's swearing about the bike, let him also swear about the bike's value. Question mark. So the Gemara asks that question and says it's true. In fact, that is exactly what would be the case. In the event that the bar would be swearing about the bike not being in his possession, Shvuos HaShomer, which he has to do, so then he also could be forced through Gilgul Shvuah to swear about the value of the bike as well. However, the particular case of our Mishnah says the Gemara is the situation in which the borrower trusts the lender regarding the bike. He doesn't suspect him of having stolen the bike. He believes the bike is really gone, and therefore he doesn't obligate him to swear the Shvuos HaShomerim. So once he's off the hook from the Shvuos HaShomerim, he'll also be off the hook from swearing about the value of the bike. Okay, that's an ukimta, just set up for how the Mishnah would make sense, but indeed the halach would be, under normal circumstances, once you're swearing about the Shvuos HaShomerim that you don't have the bike, you could be forced to swear about the value of the bike as well. Okay, the last of the four cases is Sela Hilvisani, a love. I borrowed 4 dinar from you on the base of the bike that gave his collateral. Ushtayim Hayashava, but it was worth 2 salaim. Okay, so again, so that means I borrowed 4 from you, but I gave you 8 as collateral, 8 dinars as collateral. Vahala Omer, but the lender says, low key, nope, that's not what happened. Ela Sela Hilvisicha, yes, I loaned you 1 sela with 4 dinar, a love, on the basis of that bike. Vahamisha dinarim Hayashava, but the bike was worth not 8 as you claim, but only 5 dinar. And therefore, what I owe you is not 4, but rather just 1 dinar. So this is good old-fashioned moda b'miktas. I admit to 1 of your claim. I deny the other 3. So I'm moda b'miktas. I admit to part of it. The lender does. And therefore, chayev. Therefore, he's chayev on the doraisa obligation of shvus moda b'miktas in addition to the doraisa of shvus hashomer. He doesn't have the bike in his possession. Okay, fine. All straightforward. The last part of the Mishnah, you have to get out your pencil, because it says, Umi Nishba, who swears? So now you have to write 2 things in, so to speak, in your pencil. Number one, you have to say, Mi Nishba, meaning who swears betechila, who swears first? That's the question, okay, because both have to swear. But in which case we're talking about? We're talking about specifically case number 2, which I told you before, the case where the lender is swearing a Shvuos HaShomerim Doraisa, because he has swear he doesn't have the bike in his possession. But the borrower is taking a shvua moru miktsas doraisa. He says he owes some of the claim and not all the claim. So in that, the question is, who should swear first? Says the Mishnah, Misha pikadon etzlo. The guy who has, or at least last had, the pikadon here is referring to the mashkon, the collateral. It would be equally true if we're talking about a dispute over pikadon itself, not a mashkon, where it's just a deposit that has nothing to do with a loan. But here, the pikadon actually is really a mashkon. It's a collateral, and it was kept in the hands of a lender. So the lender has to swear first. Why? Because if we let the borrower swear first, being motor mixas, and he swears about the value of the collateral, he says the bike is worth, you know, X, shema yishba zeh, first he'll swear on the value, and then v'yotzi halas pikadon, and then the lender will whip out the bike and say, oh, look, here is the bike. And then he will essentially show that the borrower wasn't precise in his shvua because the bike wasn't worth precisely what he swore it was worth, and therefore essentially be ruined. The borrower will be ruined because he'll be shown to be having lied under oath, and therefore he won't be able to act as a witness in the future or testify or swear in the future and so on. So that's bad news. So in order to protect people from this nasty trick, we say that the guy who's supposed to have the pikadon, or the mashkon, the collateral, he should swear first that he doesn't have it anymore. And that way, if he swore he hasn't got the bike, obviously, after the other guy says, I swear the bike is with so-and-so, then so much, so then the lender won't whip the bike out because he swore he didn't have it. Okay? That's the general rule. That's a din. Now, Tosos asks an important question. Tosos say, wait a second. Are you trying to tell me that the rabbis instituted that the person who should swear first is the one who had the item last? That way, he can't show the object and show that the guy who swore was a liar. There's a general rule, which is that we don't make takanos. The rabbis don't make the kind of takanos to protect criminals, right? We're not concerned about Rishayim, that they should why would we make a takana to protect a guy who we think is a liar? So therefore, Tosos learned the point is that the problem would be if the bike really was still extant and around, so then the guy who swore on its value would be making a shvuas shav, a shvua levatala, right? A shvua for no good reason. Shvua levatala because we didn't need him to swear, he could have shown the bike. And therefore, to protect that from happening, to make a shvua shav but levatala, no purposed shvua, we force the guy who has it, who had it last, to swear first. Okay? You look back at the Mishnah, it's not explicit for the reason why. So according to most, Bartanura, most, it is, we are making a tekana derabanan that we shouldn't ruin the life, essentially, of the borrower who's swearing with the value. But according to Tosafot, it says we shouldn't simply do a shvua levatala, unnecessary shvua.